In the meantime, those released yesterday await full pardon by the Texas Board of Pardons and Parole under the approval of the governor, with a decision expected to come as early as this August. From KPFT in Houston, Texas, I'm Renee Feltz for Free Speech Radio News.
You're listening to Free Speech Radio News. I'm Amma Boadi.
Hi, I'm Gina from the Go-Go's, and you're listening to USWUSB Stony Brook.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And whenever you hear a long period of music or silence or something like that, it usually means that we're working on getting something to work that should be working and isn't. But now everything seems to be working just fine. Yeah, it's sort of like you have to reinvent the wheel sometimes when you come into this place. But that's fine. That's fine. Because otherwise we forget what wheels look like and how they work. It's very important that, you know, people go into big radio stations where the air conditioning's on and you know, the machines work, and they don't know why. They don't know how. They just take it all for granted, and we don't take anything for granted here at WUSB, especially our listeners. That's right. And let me give you some advice right now. If you're on the Internet and you're running something, say, like iTunes, drag that, go to our site, drag that little PLS file into your iTunes application, and then you can just double-click on that anytime you want, and WUSB will magically pop up. It was very handy this last weekend when the Blues Marathon was going on. It was really really good to just be able to turn on the radio and hear blues all the time, 4 in the morning. You know, that's when you want to hear blues. And that's the kind of thing we do here at WUSB. We have a reggae marathon coming up in a couple of weeks, which is going to go even longer. In fact, that's going to preempt us. It's always a good idea to keep the station on, at least at low volume in the background, because that way you're never caught by surprise when something happens. And around here, something always does. Well, you know what would be a nice thing to have? Just walking around today, very nice, sort of crisp autumn day here in the middle of June. I was thinking, what a nice day for a parade, you know? And then I started thinking to myself, well, you know, where is the parade? I mean, I was sort of promised a parade when this whole war thing started. You know, we were going to be in there for, what, a couple of weeks, couple of months tops, and then we get the parade like we did last time. I think the parade last time was in June, wasn't it? 1991, the victory parade in New York City, remember that? Everybody shouting and screaming and parading around. And when we started that war, we started that war in January. Okay, this one didn't start, you know, till March, but it was over so much quicker. you know? Or was it? I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there anymore. We don't seem to get the news. I mean, I keep turning on the news and hearing about people getting killed over there, people on our side, but it's not making the headlines anymore. Just kind of over there, you know? We're not thinking about them anymore. Yeah, we're just, you know, going on shooting sprees, raids, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, this whole battle, this whole incursion seemed to be over in a matter of days. You know, people jumping around, welcoming us, troops handing out Big Macs or whatever it was they were doing over there. So why are we still engaged in street-to-street fighting and sniper attacks and craziness like that? Doesn't seem to ever be ending. And, you know, I don't think this parade is going to happen. At least, not soon. And what's the point of going to war if you don't get a parade? I mean, really, what is the point? Think about it. What do we get out of it? What do they get out of it? It's madness. And I was watching today. In fact, this is something I think a lot of people would be interested in. There were hearings over in London, in Parliament. Some former government officials, notably former Foreign Minister Robin Cook. Have you ever heard him talk? He just sounds so intelligent. You compare him to somebody, you know, like Bush or even Colin Powell. He puts him to shame just with his grasp of world events and nuances and implications of various things. This is a guy who resigned in the midst of the whole Gulf II panic. And today he's giving testimony in Parliament about how he thinks that things are being misled, that things were being misled then, which is why he resigned, that intelligence reports were not being given to the public correctly. And it's really something to see this starting to turn into a real crisis, because there's no evidence anymore. They're not even talking about the evidence of weapons of mass destruction. You know, that was the reason the whole thing started, remember? That was the reason. And now they're just saying, well, Saddam was a bad guy. You know, we got rid of Saddam Hussein. What, do you support Saddam Hussein? No? Okay, well, then we did the right thing, didn't we? I mean, you know, I've seen lots of people lie in my time, and they always get that kind of, you know, that kind of shady look, and they start changing the subject and start talking about other things. And that's exactly what's happening over here. But when you hear these guys testify, and of course, I'm sure you didn't hear any of them testify because you have to get the BBC to watch this, and we don't get the BBC in the United States. So you had no idea what was going on. I don't think it was on CNN. I don't think it's even being reported that Robin Cook, Clare Short, another member of the administration over there who resigned because of what was going on, they gave some pretty dramatic testimony, and we saw none of it. Of course, there are inquiries going on here in the United States, but Republican-backed Congress will be, mark my words, blocking any kind of public inquiry. They're going to try to change the subject as much as possible. But when you look at history, and that's a hard thing to erase, when you look at the history of this whole thing, you see that we've been told one thing, and it just leads to another thing, and the first thing that we were told never was true in the first place, and we never would have agreed to get to where we are now if we had known that at the time. Of course, you had your people then that were telling you just that, but they were kooks and zombies, and nobody listened to them. It's a funny thing, you know, encoding these old shows from 1990, I was listening to when this whole mess started back in August of 1990, when Iraq invaded Kuwait. And originally, I believe I've mentioned this, originally the purpose of sending troops over there, sending that mass amount of troops over there, was to prevent Saudi Arabia from being invaded by Iraq. That was the reason. And then we said, okay, as long as we're all over here, let's take Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. We did that. We never left. And then, over the past year or so, we decided that we're going to blame everybody we can for 9/11 without ever presenting any real evidence because, that's just a pain in the ass to present real evidence. But Saddam Hussein, you know, he's an enemy. He said nasty things about our country. Can't imagine why. He should be, you know, our friend since we, you know, kicked him out of that country and killed however many of his fellow citizens. He still shouldn't be, you know, angry at us. But apparently he is, so therefore he's the enemy. Therefore, he must be responsible for all the bad things that happened to us. Proof? You want proof? Okay. Here's the proof. He can make weapons of mass destruction, just like that. He can do it. There, that's proof, isn't it? He wants to. He has the urge to. He's an enemy of us. And, you know, we sold him all these weapons of mass destruction type things, so he must have them still. And he hasn't proven that he doesn't have them. And that's it right there. That's definitive. So, okay. We'll give him a deadline. And we'll send these weapons inspectors home. We'll tell them that their services are no longer required because they obviously can't find anything. And so we went over there. Bombed them to smithereens. And guess what? We can't find anything. We can't find any weapons of mass destruction. We don't want the weapons inspectors to come back. We don't want them back there. Now, why would we not want them to go back there? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. But that's what we're saying. We don't want them to go back. We don't want them to look for anything. We want to do all the searching. What a mess. Now we have a country in anarchy. We have the whole region destabilized. We're not going to be bringing people home anytime soon. We are stuck over there for a long, long time. It's exactly what so many people were warning about. And, wow. Could it get any worse? It probably can. I'm sure there's people right now in conference rooms figuring out ways to make it even worse. The question is, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? It's a tough one, you know, and I think the best thing to do is just to not let go, to not let them get away with lies. They don't want to hear about the weapons of mass destruction. They don't want to talk about it anymore. But it's a big issue in the rest of the world. The UK, which was the only other country to go in there, the people are outraged. Tony Blair's popularity has plummeted. And it's a healthy thing. You know, everyone is talking about this over there. Everyone's debating it and arguing. And here, we don't talk about that kind of thing. We don't talk about that. You turn on the news and last week, I'm not kidding. Last week, I turned on, and CNN is the best, you know? I can't watch Fox. MSNBC is just dumb. So CNN is the only thing you can watch on American TV that purports to give you news. And I turned it on, and, you know, they were giving the news on the hour. And the first story was, what horse won some race somewhere? You know, is that Triple Crown thing? I don't know. I don't follow these things. And then the next story was the hockey championship or the basketball championship. I don't know. I can't tell the difference. This wasn't the sports hour. This was the news hour, the two top stories in this world filled with intrigue and crisis and chaos. The first two stories were sports stories on what purports to be a hard news channel. Ha! And then after that, they went into all the rain we're getting. That was story number three, all the rain. Then they broke for a commercial, and then they came back with the weather and sports. That is what we are exposed to in this country. That's why we don't know what's going on. That's why we don't question. We're not stupid. You know, American people are widely seen as being dumb and overly consuming, not caring about the rest of the world. It's not true. You simply have to talk to people. You simply have to get through to them. And once you do that, you might be surprised. But the mass media, they're not going to be the people to do it. I mean, why would they? Look who owns the mass media. Look who benefits from various things like incursions into other countries and things like that. Look who benefits from the FCC getting rid of virtually all regulations as far as how many stations and newspapers can be owned by a single entity. They're not going to speak out against that kind of thing. They're doing too good. And that's the reason why you don't see things like BBC in this country, because if people started to see an alternative view on a regular basis, I don't mean 7 o'clock in the morning on Channel 21, which is when you can see it around here, if they saw it on a regular basis, they might start questioning a little bit more. You know, they might start really seeing things from a global perspective. And believe me, that's the last thing the powers that be want, is an informed public. All right, let's make a little call. All right. Okay, I don't know why we didn't get a dial tone. Everything's broken today. Dial tone now? No dial tones. Is the whole phone system down? Listen to that. Hear that? Oh, I hear it way in the background. Okay, hang on. I got to do some surgery here. The phones don't work. Gary, did the phones not work?
The cord is a little loose.
The cord's a little loose.
Yeah,
okay.
If you just jiggle it here a little bit, you might be able to hear something or talk. This was the one that was giving me the problems. I was talking.
Yeah, but I'm not using the handset. I'm just using. I just want to get a dial tone over the line.
Oh, yeah.
This is a call-in show. You know, it's kind of.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Well, kind of hard to do a call-in if.
It was working before. People were able to call in before.
Did you talk on the speakerphone?
No, I didn't talk on the speakerphone. Right. No.
What can I do to let's call the USB hotline. See if we get a voice over the. No, you see, I hear a voice.
Did you hear a voice?
That's the voice of Jim Wiener, but it's way in the background.
You can't bring the volume, I guess.
No, something's. Okay, wait. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try opening up the board here. By the way, this is Gary Pecorino here, stopping in. You may remember the voice of Gary Pecorino. We've been putting a lot of shows online, when we did the anniversary of John Lennon's shooting, the 10th anniversary, December 9th, was it? Or December 8th, 1990, the 10th anniversary. We played part of a special that you and I did in
1979. Oh, that's a long time ago.
You don't have a copy of that, do you?
I remember at the convention I gave you a disc that had part of it.
Part of it, okay. That's all I have is part of it.
Okay, I was able to find one cassette.
Really? Okay, well, I'd like to get the whole thing online.
I'm going to try going through my stuff, and if I find any more, of course, you've got it.
Okay, well, that'd be great. Now, let's try to get this phone working. I'm opening up the board now.
All right.
Oh, that's what's doing it. Okay, I have the entire board open here. All the circuitry is in front of me, and now I hear a dial tone. So as long as I do the show like this, I can get electrocuted like this. This isn't right. I have to be very careful here. I wish somebody could see what I was doing here. The whole board is opened up in front of me. I see circuit boards. I see tubes. I see...
Tubes.
Is that a sandwich?
Nobody uses tubes anymore.
Oh, my God, look at this. It's a pen. How old do you think this pen is?
That pen is probably from 1979.
Is that a joint? Oh, what is that?
Just pull it out.
Hold on a second. Let's back... You know, this is like a time capsule.
It really is.
This is because, you know, there's only certain people that open this board...
We could use a camera in there and just have shots of that.
All right, I'm gonna open this up a little later, because there's all kinds of interesting things in there. Wow. Okay.
Did you have a dial tone?
Oh no, well, we did. I turned it off. Closed the board nice and quietly. It's a pulsating dial tone. There we go. Okay. Now, nobody move. Everybody be nice and steady here. I was going to make a phone call. Of course, all the momentum has been lost, but I'm going to call. Actually, you can't hear the phone, can you? But I can press this button, and then you do hear the phone. Yeah, that's a little magical thing we have here. I'm going to call DirecTV. They provide satellite service. You've heard of them, right, Benji?
Yes.
And I'm going to try to get the BBC.
Thank you for calling DirecTV.
Yeah, I'm going to hit zero.
Service calls may be monitored or recorded.
Zero.
Sorry, we cannot process your response. If you already have DirecTV service, press 1. If you have installed new equipment and you want to start your service now,
zero
press
used to
2.
Work. Oh, yeah.
If you do not yet have a DirecTV system and would like information or want to order today, press 3. If you don't have a touchtone phone, please stay on the line.
I think I'll stay on the line. That's probably the fastest thing to do. But that's what you have to do.
Please hold on to speak to an entertainment consultant.
Entertainment consultant. All right. Because when you get foreign news, you tend to see far in perspective, and that's something
you probably know that the easiest way to order pay-per-view.
You know, I don't want to hear the advertisements.
But if you don't have a phone line connected to your receiver, you can save $350 off the phone order.
Anyway, this is what people need to do. They need to call their annoying providers of TV signal. Remember when we didn't have providers of TV signals? We just had TV signals. But that might be your cable company. That might be your satellite provider. And you ask them, or demand, if you're in a bad mood, that you get something different than the normal crap that's on the air. I mean, I get hundreds of TV channels now, and most of it's the same garbage. You know, the same nonsense. No alternative perspectives at all. There's a channel called Free Speech TV. You don't get that. Nobody gets that. I think Dish Network gets that. Maybe. I'm not sure. But you have to really fight and struggle. I'm going to give this maybe a couple of minutes. And don't
if
do
you're a
show.
Harry Potter fan, we have a special deal for you this summer.
I'm feeling nauseous here from all this nonsense.
Is available on DirecTV pay-per-view.
Gary, tell us what you're up to. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yes, microphone's working over there.
Okay, is this actually working?
It does actually work, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much the same kind of thing, you know, playing music and teaching and that kind of thing. That's what I've been doing for the past 20 years.
Wow. Amazing how time flies, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing. I mean, this could have been, this could have been 20 years ago, now that we're together again here in the same room.
Yeah, you know, most of the equipment's exactly the same. Things really changed. Some of the music is different, I guess.
Things are a little bit more broken down than they used to be.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything is pretty much the same.
I can't believe this Rome phone system has lasted since the late 80s.
I was wondering about that. When did we switch to 632?
I think it was 1988.
Okay.
World Heavyweight Champion Jeff Jarrett.
Oh.
From TNA Wrestling.
I've got a wrestler.
Want more out of your wrestling? If so, tune in.
Oh, he said he's
TNA
a recording. I thought he was going to help me. What a mess. What a mess. All right, I'm giving them 1 minute more. I'm going to set the timer. And in 1 minute, if they're not there, I'm just going to write them off. But you see what you have to go through. And, you know, we're not going to get anywhere when we talk to these people. We're not going to get like, oh, yeah, we'll add that channel. No, of course not. You're just going to get more heavyweight wrestling and sports and fake news.
Well, Emmanuel, it was good to see you again. I've got to run, and
okay.
I just want to wish you well on this show. Maybe you wish you didn't get a dial tone at this point, you know?
Yeah. Well, of course, I do want to take phone calls, and our number is area code 631-632-WUSB, which translates to 9872.
If you're in a time warp, it's 246.
Well, that was the old number.
The
old number.
Ooh. I don't know. Was it?
Don't give out the number because it probably belongs to somebody.
Are you moving?
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
All kinds of phone calls. But when we archive the really old shows, you'll hear the old phone number.
That's right.
All right. You know, I'm giving up on these people.
Now that's one less thing to worry about.
No. You have one less customer to worry about. All right, Gary. Good seeing you. Gary Pecorino there on the guest microphone. Okay. So the point is, if and when you do get through. If a lot of people request this, a lot of people request alternative news, maybe even Deutsche Welle, the German news, which actually is in English most of the time, we might actually get some alternative perspectives. They have no trouble with this in other countries. In Canada, everybody is able to get this, and they have more of a balanced opinion. They have more facts at their disposal. All right, enough ranting and raving about that. Here's something else to...
...dissolve the Federation and a new, rather, disorganized...
The news is still playing. Oh, I brought up the wrong thing there. This is something else to rant and rave about.
Pop quiz. Your teen is going to a party with lollipops, a pacifier, and toy angel wings. You think she's going to A, play charades, B, relive her childhood, C, take a drug called ecstasy. Innocent-looking candy and toys are associated with the use of ecstasy, a drug that can cause brain damage, heart failure, and even death.
To learn more, go to drugfreeamerica.org.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free New York and America.
Yeah, it's not just America anymore. They're going down to the various state levels. I don't know who, and I don't want to name names, but I listen to this radio station, and whenever I hear something like that, it just, I don't know, there's something about it that just really rubs me the wrong way. It makes me very angry. Because these guys are propaganda meisters that go out and convince people that all drugs are the same, all drugs are bad. It's very simplistic, very simple, you know, and it winds up causing a lot more problems than solutions.
As a parent, you look for signs your teen is in trouble. If you came across rolling papers, you'd be concerned about marijuana use. But what if you found a pacifier, glowing jewelry, or lollipops? Sounds like a joke, but it's not. Those items are associated with the use of ecstasy, a drug that can cause brain damage, heart failure, and even death.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free New York and America.
Yeah, okay, thank you. It's customary to, you know, not interrupt like that. You know, there are all kinds of issues involved with drugs, and there's all kinds of different drugs. It's something that, you know, you need some sort of informed opinion about. But these people...
On the real, check it out. If Pop were a person, you wouldn't be down with him at all. Yeah, he might be fun at first, but then he'd be the one to make you quit sports. Next thing, he's picking fights with your parents, because he's always getting you into trouble. And then before you even know it, he's messing up your grades and everything else, just to get high. Look, if Pop were a person, you wouldn't want to hang out with him. And that's for real, yo.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free New York and America.
Now, you know, these guys are everywhere. And they're attacking every single drug out there. One thing that I believe is very important to point out is that pot is not in the same category as something like crack, for instance. Yet, if you listen to these guys, all drugs are the same. All drugs lead to all kinds of horrible things. And, you know, the simple fact is it's not that simple. And I don't know a single person, I really don't know a single person, who would take something like this seriously. I mean, a lot of people listening right now that are under the age of 21, I'd like to ask you guys, do you know anybody? Anybody who would listen to something like this in your peer group and say, wow, that makes sense. I'm just going to say no. Of course not. That's not what people are like. And you wind up doing more harm than good when you have this stupid, simplistic message, when people go out and they try something and they see that it's not as bad as they say it is, that, you know, their whole life doesn't fall apart when they smoke a joint, then they're going to try something a little bit harder because they're going to believe that that message is no good either. So, you know, instead of this simplistic message, a little bit of intelligent dialogue, a little bit of education, a little bit of, you know, back and forth as far as what these drugs are, what they're all about, that kind of thing. But to hear it here, you know, to hear it at a station like this where we're supposed to be talking about alternative thought and alternative subject matter, to hear the same crap that you hear on commercial radio, and you do hear that on commercial radio, you do hear that same idiocy there, it got me mad. And when I get mad, I tend to look for alternatives, and I went out onto the internet. Yes, I did. I went out onto the internet. And look what I found.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. For 30 years, Normal has been a voice for those Americans who oppose marijuana prohibition. It's time we stop arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Now, you know, that's different. I'll bet you haven't seen a Normal PSA on TV. I bet you haven't heard one on K-Rock or any of those other cool stations that the kids are supposed to be watching, or MTV or anything like that. Do they talk about Normal? No, they don't. You know, probably have never heard of them. Well, I'm going to give these little recordings that I tracked down to the powers that be here, and hopefully you'll start hearing some alternative views and be able to think for yourself as to you know, what is right and what is wrong. This war on drugs, what has it gotten us? It's gotten us millions of people in prison. It's gotten us all kinds of broken up lives. It hasn't done a damn thing to get people off drugs. It's probably gotten more people onto drugs because people like to do things that are forbidden. Now, people in this country that are under 21, they drink more heavily than any other country I've ever been in, where the drinking age is either much less or just not enforced, period. Because, you know, when you have a situation of education, not regulation, it's less of a big deal. And when you prohibit everything, when you turn it into some big, massive crisis, all of a sudden it becomes a lot more appealing, and then people are very irresponsible. And you wind up with all kinds of problems that you wouldn't have had. All right, what else do we have here? Let's try one more of these. Yeah, it's the same song, but a longer version.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
All right. Well, that's a bit of alternative news, and that's what we're all about here at WUSB. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your opinions on this and other things. And if you're journeying around on the Internet and you find something, another site that has alternative public service announcements, please let us know. And we'll do everything we can to get them aired here at the station. Doesn't do us any good if we sound just like everybody else, does it? Send out the same message, you know, read the same news. Yeah, it might get some people angry, it might get some people upset, they might disagree. Deal with it. That's what life is. All right, our email address, otw@2600.com. And feel free to join the IRC chat ongoing right now at irc.2600.net. And the room or channel is pound off the wall. Take a phone call. Good evening. You are on the air.
We have these PSAs.
We have these PSAs? Where?
They're in the DigiCard.
I looked in the DigiCard.
Well, you should look for Willie Nelson because...
Oh, really? I'm going to do that right now. I'm in the PSA section. For those who don't know, the DigiCard is this massive machine that has all these things in it. It has more programming than you can possibly imagine. You know where they are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bill Darling's here. He knows where they are. Okay.
He does.
I feel like an idiot now. They must be under something else.
Liberty.
I was in non-PSA. That says pot reform. Why is it under non-PSA?
Play it.
There's a little story to that.
There's a story to that. Okay, I'm going to hear the story afterwards. Well, thank you, dedicated staff member, for letting us know about this.
Welcome.
All right. Okay, great. Let's prove that.
On the road.
It's different song.
Nearly 700,000 Americans were arrested on marijuana charges last year. That's an enormous waste of law enforcement resources and terribly unfair to those arrested and their families. It's time we stopped arresting adults who smoke marijuana responsibly. For more information...
Okay, I'm starting to get sick of the message myself, but this is interesting that it's in there. I'd just like to know why it's there. Okay. It's in a much smaller... So we have a section for PSAs, and we have a much smaller section for non-PSAs, and that's... It's as much of a public service as the people who tell you to not do anything. Then you got this other guy. I don't know if anyone has been playing him lately, but there's this guy who's like the cool person, if I can get this thing to work, who tells you things in a way that, you know, you're supposed to listen to what he says. What's his name? Dr. B, is that it? Let's hear what Dr. B has to say about drugs.
Topic coming through here. This is Dr. Bill Cheshire. Drugs? Who's telling you to stop using drugs? Middle-aged adults, right? And they either used to use them in college or they didn't use them. The ones who didn't use them seem to have this holier-than-thou attitude like they never used drugs, and somehow that makes them superior to the people who did. And there's the other group, the ones who did use drugs. They talk about the wacky, fun stuff they did while on drugs, and then they turn around and tell you shouldn't be using drugs. Huh? Oh yeah, I forgot about the medical researchers who tell you how terrible drugs are for your brain. This is Dr. Bill Cheshire. Maybe it'll surprise you if I tell you not to use drugs, but it would be great if you could get over using drugs. And it's true. drugs can mess you up permanently, and that's the rest of your life.
Dr. Bill Cheshire is a board-certified licensed clinical professional counselor. His comments are not intended as therapy, but for entertainment only.
All right, well, that was better, but, you know, I was hoping he was going to go somewhere with that and kind of stopped in the middle. So, yeah, we all know that drugs can mess you up. But there's such a thing as, you know, responsible use and... I mean, I've known a lot of people who have been completely messed up because of drugs, but the ones who have survived are the ones who knew the facts, you know? I don't know anybody who just stopped because of a just-say-no policy. They stopped because they realized they were in trouble, and they knew what their options were. They knew what the effects of continuing to do something destructive to themselves was, and that's you know, you really need that kind of education. All right. Enough of this. 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. Let's take a look at some of the things that are going on in the world. All right, more stupidity. The New York Times a few days ago. There's an article about this road that no longer exists. For 77 years, Route 666. Christened as the sixth tributary, off Route 66, has woven its way through three states, beginning in the drab fast food corridor of Gallup, New Mexico, a 2 hours drive west of Albuquerque. Then it travels through the vast, dusty Navajo Reservation, curving into Cortez, Colorado, and rolling through the cattle ranches of Colorado and Utah before ending up 191 miles later in the town of Monticello, Utah. But this spring... politicians in those three states, led by Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, petitioned the federal agency that handles such things to change the highway's number, arguing that the New Testament's association of 666 with Satan was impairing the economic vitality of the towns along its route. Yeah. I mean, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say about this. This kind of stupidity that a number like this is evil and has to be changed. The superstition, the same superstition that prevents a 13th floor on most elevators. These people take this seriously. They really do. It's sad. Well, look what we do here. Okay, we have... You're on Long Island.
You have reached Bayshore DSO. Serving 581-666-968-224-859-277-969.
Okay.
You have reached Bayshore
DSO. That's the test announcement for the 666 exchange.
581-666.
And they're surviving quite well down there in Bayshore. I believe so. If it was Amityville, okay, you know, they'd have something. But anyway, the Humble Highway is hardly the first to have an identity crisis. South Korea added 7 soldiers to its original Iraq contingent to bring the total to a non-controversial 673. And even in Moscow, Moscow's bus route 666 became 616 in 1999. And even the United States government, which has a policy against switching Social Security numbers for religious reasons, agreed in 1996 to issue a new one for a 1-year-old girl in Orange County, California, whose parents refused to list her 666 on their income taxes. And all this even though the relevant biblical passage from Revelation chapter 13, does not even explicitly mention the devil. Here is wisdom, says verse 18. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Anyway, whatever the validity of the fears, Route 666 is no more. It really sucks because I wanted to get a good picture of it, and I never got the chance to. On May 31st, it was changed to Route 491. Oh, boy. Of course, it will take up to a year and untold sums of money for the three states to change their signs and maps to reflect the sanitized moniker, and the cowboys and Indians who live along the unassuming road will probably keep calling it 666 long afterward. But people who might have feared to make the trek from Yellow Jacket, Colorado to Eastland, Utah because of the number of the highway that links the two can now hit the road without trepidation. That article from the New York Times. And I'm not suggesting that anybody rip down a Route 66, 666 sign and send it via UPS to P.O. Box 752, Middle Island, New York, 11953. Because they're not going to be using it anyway, and why would it even matter to them if somebody took it? It'd probably be something that they'd be relieved not to see anymore. But wouldn't it be funny if somebody did that? And that way I'd get my picture of it, because it would be right in my room. Unreal. Are there any clueful politicians that might say, okay, let's make Route 25A Route 666 then, just to give a statement of our own? The things people get upset about, the things people waste time about. All right, what else? Intelligent seats could soon be informing airline crews whether a passenger is a nervous flyer, a potential terrorist, or has been sitting still too long and could be at risk of developing blood clots. Oh, boy. It just never stops, does it? Quinitic, which was set up last year in a part privatization of Britain's former Defense Evaluation and Research Agency, is developing airline seats with sensors that can relay signals assessing a passenger's behavior to a central computer. Quinitic designer Chris Thorpe says the system could have a display that is only accessible to the cabin crew, perhaps in the galley, to warn if a passenger's behavior is out of the ordinary. That's according to New Scientist magazine. Wouldn't that be great to be sitting there in your airline seat? Because if you don't have enough to worry about, thinking, well, am I sitting the right way? Is my pulse going a little too fast? Am I sweating? Do I look nervous? Gee whiz, that's enough to make some people nervous. I mean, I have a hard enough time traveling as it is without being scrutinized and analyzed after I pass through security by airline people on top of everything else, by stewardesses. And I don't know, are the pilots going to be the ones monitoring this? I think they got more important things to do. Anyway, the crew can then assess the passenger and decide whether he or she presents a risk. Well, what do you do when you're over the Atlantic Ocean and you decide that someone sitting in a chair is going to pose a risk? They're not doing anything, but they're the way they're sitting, the way their blood is racing, they could pose a risk. What do you do? Break out the twine? Tie them up someplace? Have some fat guy sit on them? I mean, seriously. There's only so much you can do before it really starts to turn into a charade. The company said more sensors and other techniques such as monitoring temperature and skin moisture levels could also be used to help the crew make their judgments. Maybe we should all just get an injection of something, be unconscious for the whole way over. Then we could be monitored the whole way, you know, and they'd know everything about us. And they wouldn't have to give us the free meals either. According to the magazine, the sensing seats are part of a bigger project to make airline cabins more friendly, with lighting that dims when you fall asleep, for instance. Oh, they're going to know when you fall asleep. Isn't that something? It'd be kind of fun to watch, actually. Watch the lights dim one by one. I think that's a good message for a potential hijacker. He knows when people fall asleep. Then he knows when to strike. First-class passengers will be the first to benefit from the smart seats, which could be available in about a year. You know what? They can keep them. Ain't going to be sitting on no smart seat, I'll tell you that right now. I'll put some kind of padding, you know, between me and it. I'll do something. Or, you know, I'll put something extremely hot there. Something that'll really mess up the sensors. Where is it written that I have to be sensed? I don't intend to be. Unreal. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB. This is a call-in show. And apart from the one correction we got, we've gotten no calls. So please feel free if you have a comment on some of the things we've talked about today or comment of something of your own. I'd like to hear it. And don't be upset if we don't answer right away. We will. We'll get to you. Here's from the Darwinism department. A woman lay brain dead Tuesday after being pummeled in a tough man amateur boxing bout, and police opened an investigation into the fight. We are trying to determine the criminality of it, police spokesman Jay Frank said. Stacy Young, 30 years old, suffered swelling and bleeding in the brain during Saturday night's bout. She was declared brain dead Monday night at Bayfront Medical Center, but was kept on life support Tuesday until out-of-state family members could arrive. And early Tuesday, hospital representatives erroneously reported that she had died. Chuck Young said his wife, a mother of two, decided on the spur of the moment to compete after learning that the only woman who had signed up needed an opponent. It's supposed to be fun. They tell us nobody's going to get hurt. You know, I'm not the smartest person in the world. I may not even rank in the top 50%, but I do know that when you start pummeling your face with someone's fist, it's going to hurt. I do know that boxing is probably one of the dumbest sports ever to have existed. It simply involves, you know, people hitting over and over again until one of them falls down. It's not good for you. It's not healthy. It's unbelievable to me how many people are into this, how many supposedly smart people, supposedly, you know, liberal types, are really into watching, you know, people hurt each other physically. This kind of thing happens a lot. It really does, both professionally and amateur, and it's a real waste. All right, here's some phone calls. Let's see what's out there. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment about the drug thing.
Go ahead.
You know, just as long as some CEO is making millions of dollars, then drugs are just fine. Just A-okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody, like, you know, uses something as harmless as pot, which I think is relatively harmless if it's used responsibly, I mean, did you see these new PSAs where they show these kids in the car smoking a joint and they run over some little girl on a bike?
Really?
Did you ever see that? It's like
no.
An anti-pot PSA. So it's like, you know, irresponsible humans, you know, they blame the pot on irresponsible human behavior.
Yeah, just, you know, idiots in general. But, you know, I've known lots of people who've smoked pot, and I don't know anybody who's done something like that.
Oh, man, it's horrible. It's a horrifying public service announcement.
Well, you know, there was one that was on a couple of months ago where some guy was saying, it was two guys arguing, and one person was saying, you know, I don't see any evidence that that money I use to buy drugs goes to funnel terrorists. And the guy's answer to it is, it's true. And there was no other evidence. It's like the Bush retort, the Bush way of giving facts by just saying, no, it's true, and not presenting anything at all.
Right.
That was the PSA, and that aired for quite some time. When you have something horrible on screen, when you show somebody being tortured or hurt or killed, and then you link it to something else, naturally you're going to say, well, that's something else is bad then.
So what if the driver in that public service announcement was on Ritalin or Prozac or Xanax, mm-hmm. or any other, you know, any other the endless list of horrible, you know, drugs that actually have, you know, terrible side effects and have a very incredibly, you know, they take a toll on you. I mean, I had a friend who shall remain nameless who had a problem with Xanax, and the poor guy had to go into rehab, and you know, it was like really horrible stuff.
You know, I'm searching right now through our public service announcements, and I don't see any anti-Xanax public service announcements. I wonder why.
I wonder why, because people are making money, you know, mm-hmm. and it always, again, as usual, it always comes down to corporations making millions of dollars, and they have no responsibility. And, you know, if someone decides to medicate themselves through the responsible use of marijuana, then, like, you're branded a criminal. But, you know, sign me up for Prozac, though. That's A-okay, you know?
You know, I think what we should do is we should redub the pot PSAs and just dub the word Xanax over pot whenever that's mentioned and run that instead and see what happens.
Yeah, sounds good to me. But thanks for taking the call.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Selden.
Selden, thanks for calling. 631-632 WUSB. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Fear Free.
Hey, how you doing?
Not
calling,
bad.
Calling from where? New Jersey?
From New Jersey.
All right. What's up?
Not too much. So, speaking of road names,
mm-hmm.
there is a road in Hope, New Jersey.
Oh, Hope, New Jersey. Wait, isn't that New Hope, or that's Pennsylvania?
That's out near Hope, New Jersey. There's New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Okay, but there's actually a town called Hope, New Jersey.
Right.
All right.
Hope, New Jersey.
All right.
And there is a road in Hope, New Jersey, and you're going to say, are you joking? No, I'm not.
Uh-huh.
There is a road called Shades of Death Road.
Shades of Death Road. Now, you see, that's a good name for a road.
And I'm not even kidding.
I don't understand. The people who name roads, they always name them the same thing, you know? Always Oak Street and Pine Drive and things like that. It's always the same. Yeah, you know, Shades of Death Road. There you go. That's good.
But, and they've never, ever tried to change it. Like, there's been... I don't want to say that. There's been religious groups that have tried to change it and all this stuff, and they always say it's historical.
Because
there was like a morgue or an asylum on the road or something, and there was a lot of death and, you know, on some piece of property on the road, and it was a historic name.
Well, you know, I'm not into all this like legislation on roads and things like that, but if you're going to have legislation, how about this? How about we make a law that says it is illegal to have the same name of two roads in the same state? All right, and then you'll have all kinds of interesting roads. I mean, we have a road here. I think it's in this mysterious place called Fort Salonga, called Bread and Cheese Hollow Road. That's a great name. It takes two signs to express it.
Well, we have a road near here called Guinea Hollow Road too.
There you go. In Mexico City, from what I understand, they have named every single road. Like, for instance, from one block to another. That's a road right there. Then from the next block, it has a different name. And you've got all kinds of names. You've got tens of thousands of different names of streets in Mexico City. Of course, it's very hard to find your way around. Or maybe very easy, depending on how well you know those streets. But you have, like, Beethoven Street and Psychiatrist Way and all kinds of words that are just never used in road signs are used there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which gets... And then, so the only thing that they've done to kind of tame the name, I guess you could say, is... On Route 80, on Interstate 80, they have Shades of Road, which is the dumbest thing.
Mm-hmm.
They took death out of it. The Shades of Road.
I mean, they this is on the interstate, they say this.
Interstate.
You should find out why. So, whose idea was that? Because that's you know, deceptive.
Probably like Jim Florio, the idiot governor's idea back in the early 90s.
Well, I mean, imagine if you're going down that road, right? You get off that exit thinking, oh, I'm going on Shades of Road.
Like,
and then you
death?
See the sign, Shades of Death, and you're stuck there in the middle of New Jersey. Oh, my God. You know, I think you'd have a lawsuit potential right there.
So, but by the way, people in the IRC channel are saying, I want a picture. I will get a picture and post it on a website next week and give them the link.
Great.
So they're like, we want a picture of that sign. So.
All right. Well, my greetings to everybody in the IRC channel. And
I'll send you with a picture of that sign, too.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks.
631-632-WUSB. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
How you doing?
I wanted to ask you if you heard about the Michael Moore situation, since we're talking about things that, you know, basically aren't too cool.
No. What situation now?
Oh, that is, now, I've seen this on the, you know, a couple news links. Basically, that Michael Moore is a guy that does all the documentaries, like Bowling for Columbine,
right,
and all this.
Right.
They supposedly mistook him, either purposely or not, went to this other guy, Michael Moore, who was a Navy vet. They basically read his email, searched his house without a warrant.
Who is they?
Some some not nice things to say about Bush. They pretty much, attacked him. They said, you know, when are you going to kill the president? They invaded his privacy.
Wait, who is the they that did this?
Sorry?
Who is the they that did this?
Oh, I would assume it's the Secret Service. That's what it says here in the article.
Okay, where did you get the article from?
I can't give you the link. I've seen it on mainstream news, but I also found another site that has it.
Okay, so this other Michael Moore, what city is he in?
You know, I don't know what city the guy's in.
All right, so someone else with the name Michael Moore is being harassed by law enforcement and...
Basically.
And... Where is it? Is it said that they think he's the other Michael Moore, or is that just an assumption?
Well, this was basically an assumption that's been not only on the mainstream news, but on the link that I have here, that they're saying that it could be more like a hint for him to stop, because I think he might be working on a new documentary.
Well, you know, I assume you've seen Michael Moore material.
Yeah.
Do you really think he'd take a hint like that?
No.
He'd make another film about it. That's what he'd do.
Yeah, no, the only reason I brought it up is it's starting to sound a little bit scary. I mean, you know, the guy, they have some quotes on here from the Michael Moore that was searched on the link that I have, and, you know, he actually, on this article, claims to have been psychologically raped, like they really, you know, did a number on him. You know, so it's kind of scary now, you know, you have some emails anti-Bush, and they all of a sudden assume you're going to threaten the president, you have a convenient name, they go in and search without a warrant and all this.
Okay, I found the story.
You did, okay.
The story of a Vietnam vet caught in the government celebrity surveillance crossfire. It's written by a guy named Tom Flacco. and it's on a site called TomFlacco.com.
That's the site I found. However, I know I've been told...
But you know what? It's dated December 17, 2002. And this is concerns retired U.S. Navy Chief Petty Officer Michael Moore, 49 years old, of Goldston, North Carolina.
Yeah, I've lost the other link, but I was able to find this last night because I just posted it on the news group in a conversation.
All right, well, I don't have time to really read the whole thing now, but I'll look at it. And, you know, our listeners maybe can judge it as well. But thanks for the info.
No problem.
All right.
Thanks.
That's the thing with the Internet. You do get a lot of stories. And I don't know if this one's credible or not, but it's worth taking a look at. Tom Flacco, FLOCCO.com. Or just search for Michael Moore and the word searched in Google, which is how I found it. Okay, what else do we have here? New York City's Jewish population has fallen below 1 million, the lowest figure in a century, as Jewish families move out of the city and head for the suburbs, according to a study. That's crazy. Population dwindling of any ethnic group in New York? I mean, something not right about that. Among the Jews who remain, the rate of poverty has doubled, according to the study released Monday by the United Jewish Association Federation of New York, which analyzed data from 1991 through 2002. Between that time period, poverty among New York City's Jewish households went from 10.5% to 21%, 21.2% actually. That's according to the study. The study's threshold for poverty was higher than the federal poverty guidelines, which is a function of income and household size. An influx of Russian immigrants and sluggish economy after September 11th were cited as reasons for the poverty rate increase. And while New York's Jewish population dropped by about 5% during the period, the population in the suburban counties of Westchester, Nassau, and Suffolk increased by 24%, leaving the area's total population stable at about 1.4 million people, 972,000 in the city's five boroughs and 440,000 in the suburbs, according to the study. You know, when I was in Berlin a number of years ago, I remember being shocked by the total decimation of the Jewish community there and how there are so many people before World War II, and when they left, they never came back. There was only a handful left. Only a handful who came back to Berlin. That's pretty frightening. That's a sobering statistic when people... of course, the reasons are completely different here, but still... Population shifting. It's pretty amazing. All right, what else do we have here? Time for one more phone call, but it looks like everyone has left the phone lines. All right, in that case, I'll read this story. Instead of going dumpster diving for maybe a half-eaten sandwich and some cold fries, Peter Schoaf, a 20-year-old homeless man, was served a slice of hot pizza dripping with cheese. All he had to do was hold a sign for about 40 minutes that read, "Pizza Schmitza paid me to hold this sign instead of asking for money." Yeah, and a tactic that calls to mind the hiring of unemployed men during the Depression to wear sandwich board advertisements. A Portland pizza chain has hired homeless people off the street to promote the product. They are paid in pizza, soda, and a few dollars. "I think it's a fair trade," Schoaf said. "We're career panhandlers. That's the only other way we can get money." The signs were meant to be humorous, said Andre Jahan, founder of Pizza Schmitza, a 26 restaurant business in Oregon and Washington. "People don't have to feel guilty while still appreciating the person is homeless. It's a gesture of kindness more than anything." You know, I have to wonder about this, though. I mean, if it's a gesture of kindness, why are they advertising the fact that they're homeless, you know? The person's wearing a sign. I mean, why not put up a sign saying, "I'm an adulteress, but instead of, you know, participating in that, Pizza Schmitza has asked me to hold this sign." You know? It's basically castigating somebody, not that they should be ashamed, but it kind of is doing the same thing, except someone's profiting from you. It's sort of like, you know, they're pimping you out, saying, "Yes, I'm a homeless person, except we're going to give them money, and you're going to buy our pizza." Well, look at the time. I think things have really flown today. We'll be on again tomorrow night on Off the Hook on WBAI. At 7 p.m. Our email address, once again, otw@2600.com. And we'll see you again next week, next Tuesday night at 6 for another edition of Off the Wall. Until then, stay alert and let us know what you find out. Good night.
This is Henry McLean, and I've finished my beautiful flying machine, and I'm ringing
to say that I'm leaving, and maybe you'd like to fly with me and hide with me, baby. Isn't it strange how little we change? Isn't it sad we're insane? Playing the game that we know end in tears, the game we've been playing for thousands and thousands and thousands.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.